الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dearest Islamic brothers, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with another wonderful new Islamic year. So we have entered into Muharram al-Haram, and like how we end our Islamic year with Qurbani and sacrifice, so too do we begin with Qurbani and sacrifice. We all know the many incidences that took place at on the Ashura or the 10th of Muharram al-Haram. Nabi Isa alayhi salam was born. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was born. Before we continue, let's make good intentions. Because for, you know, the currency of the hereafter is thawab, is reward. And for each good intention that we make, we get a separate reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. This we will really appreciate and we will see on the Day of Judgment, in the grave as well. So let's make good intentions now. As the beautiful hadith mentions, نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So why delay? Make the good intentions now that I'm here for the pleasure of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, for the pleasure of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, so many blessings are there for the recitation of Durood-e-Pak. It is mentioned the person who recites Durood Sharif 200 times on a Jumu'ah, on a Friday, then 200 years worth of that person's sins will be forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, I want to focus more on the aftermath of Karbala. As I mentioned, many incidences, many historical in the history of Islam, in the history of this world, had taken place on Ashura. But one thing which is the closest to you and I, in terms of our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of years, others had taken place more than thousands of years before. But what is closest to us from a believer's point of view is the incident at Karbala. Because Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he gave his head, he did not give his hand. If he gave his hand, can you imagine what would have happened? Those who are alcoholics, those who love musical instruments, those who go to clubs, but we are seeing it today. People claim to love Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, but they don't hate those things that he hated. And that is disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, you know, when a person doesn't have any fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, when that khawf and that fear of Allah Azza wa Jal is missing, then there's no limit to what zulm and oppression that person can do. I want you to understand that. When there's no fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, no fear of repercussion, of any consequences, no fear of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, the Creator, then this person can do the maximum oppression and tyranny he can do. He doesn't have any fear. He doesn't feel that, you know what, I'm going to get caught one day. On the Day of Judgment, even here, I can bribe everybody. I can escape from all the authorities and the law. But on the Day of Judgment, if a person doesn't think about this, that certainly, who am I going to bribe on the Day of Judgment? Who am I going to bribe in the qabr, in the grave? So nevertheless, if a person doesn't have the fear of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, then he can commit the maximum of the maximum oppressions. And this is what happened on Karbala. Yazid didn't fear Allah Azza wa Jal. If you go and study, I want you to go and study and research. Take out some time. Who was this Yazid guy? Who was this fellow? Yes, he was the son of a prominent Sahabi that we all love, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who was such a great follower and lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that before he passed away, he said to his companions that I've got some blessed nails of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when I pass away, I want you to put these clippings of these nails onto my eyes. Imagine, Allahu Akbar. That was Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. But Yazid the son, you know, they say the apple falls far from the tree. He was that apple. Unfortunate. And he was a worldly person. A very much unlike his blessed father or his grandfather Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu and the other Sahaba alayhim ridwan. He was an alcoholic. Some narrations mention he used to encourage incest. Incest, marriage between brothers and sisters. He used to encourage like musical instruments and festivals, singing and dancing. He used to encourage all these bad things. He was a fasiq mu'lim, an open sinner. He should not perform his salah. He didn't worry about sunnah. He used to encourage riba and interest usually as well. And remember, he is claiming to be the khalifa, the leader of the Islamic empire. A person who is doing everything against Islam and he wants to become the ruler of the Islamic empire. And that is why Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu could never pledge obedience and allegiance to Yazid. Impossible. How can you, that you are going to support a tyrant, somebody who is against Islamic rule, against the sacred Islamic law of the Sharia and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you and I, we still know about the Sharia and the Sunnah because of the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. Nevertheless, we are drinking, we are enjoying water today. We open the tap, we are enjoying it. Let us also think about the plains of Karbala. That those people, not just men who were there. We're talking about women folk. We're talking about women folk who are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're talking about babies who are still drinking milk. We're talking about infants, we're talking about children. 7-year-old Sakina radiallahu anha and others as well. You think about it. Picture that your child is there. Picture that your niece or nephew is there. Somebody that you love is there. The woman folk, what happened to them? After the battle, these filthy Yazidi soldiers, they enter into the camp where there's only women folk and children. And the only mahram who's there, who's who? Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu anhu, who's bedridden because he's extremely sick and frail and weak. He can't do anything. And they come in. And the hijab and the veils of these pure women of the Ahlul Bayt, these enemy soldiers come in, they barge in and they remove all the veils of these pure women, these honorable women. If somebody to do that to your mother, take her scarf or her jilbab and pull it out in public, how disgraceful is that? Will you just keep quiet? Are we just going to be dumb like a robot, like a tree, and keep quiet and smile at that? Of course we will react. But imagine here, all the shuhada, all the men are martyred, they are finished. Their bodies are lying in pieces, their heads have separated from their body. Severs the blessed head of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. It is taken to the governor Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad is placed in a tray. Imagine, on the way as it is going, it passes a monastery, a church. The monk comes out, or the priest comes out. And the priest, he sees all these heads on spears, on swords. And he's asking, what is happening? Picture it, think about it, put ourselves in that situation. If those heads were the heads of my family members, my father, my uncles, my aunts, how would we feel? Imagine, and this is the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we don't feel anything, we need to check our iman. Really, we have to check our iman. Allah protect our iman. Nevertheless, this priest, this monk, he tells him, I will give you 10,000. Just give me the blessed head of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu for a few moments during the night. And these people are greedy, Yazidis. They are greedy for worldly wealth only. So they give the blessed head. He takes it inside, he closes the door, he takes it into his chamber. What does he do? He begins to wipe all the dust and the blood from the blessed head of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. A priest, a monk, Allahu Akbar. And outside, so-called Muslims are the ones who have beheaded Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. Nevertheless, the monk, as he's doing this, he gets a shock or a surprise, because light, nur, starts to emanate and shoot out from the head of Imam Hussein right to the skies, as far as he can see. And when he sees this miracle, this karama of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, immediately he recites, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine, look at that. Somebody who did not have iman, if you and I have to try to make somebody a Muslim, one person, we know how much you have to convince them according to the level of understanding to finally make them a Muslim and to teach them, to train them. Here the blessed head of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu has made a monk a Muslim, has made a priest, a man of the cloth, a Muslim, subhanAllah. So the da'wah, the tabligh is continuing. Nevertheless, someday it goes to Ibn Ziyad, it goes to finally to Yazid, the unfortunate one, and all those who were responsible for the murder, the execution of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, each one suffered very badly. Even Ibn Ziyad, how did he die? They finally caught him, they took him to the river Euphrates, Al-Furat, the same river that Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and those children, Ali Asghar radiallahu anhu, and other children who were crying for water 3 days, no food at all, no water at all. The same river, they take Ibn Ziyad, Mukhtar al-Thaqafi and his army. They take him there. And then remember, this happens at least a minimum 6 years after Karbala. Just 6 years. They take him there, they behead him. They put his head on a spear or a sword. And it was a 10th of Muharram al-Haram. They planned it. 10th of Muharram. And the very same spot that this Ibn Ziyad placed the blessed head of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, they placed the head of Ibn Ziyad there. And the people, as soon as they placed it there, the historians mention, people started to scream, it has come, it has arrived. They were shocked because all of a sudden a very big snake had appeared. A snake had appeared and was wrapping itself around this unfortunate head of Ibn Ziyad. They say that it went into the nostril, it forced its way into his nostrils and outside his mouth 3 times. So the punishment of those who are against Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt starts in this world. Because our belief is all Sahaba Ikram are categorically Jannati. There's no doubt in them going to Jannah. Any person who is against this belief is against the belief of Islam. Okay? So we must be very careful to teach our children as well, our women folk, to teach our grandchildren, to teach our offspring, the love of Sahaba Ikram, the love of Ahlul Bayt, and the love of Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nevertheless, Yazid himself, he suffers. Many of the people who were involved in the murder of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, they were inflicted with leprosy, like Shimr Dhul Joshan. He was inflicted with leprosy, where parts of his body was rotting and falling off. In this world, the punishment starts. Yazid himself, he develops a very chronic disease in his intestines, and he's unable to drink even a drop of water. He falls in love with a beautiful Roman girl, and she seduces him. She tells him, if you really love me, then follow me. So he tells his soldiers to leave him, and he follows this girl to a desolate area, an abandoned area. Nobody stays there, there's no houses. Finally, he is face to face with this girl, Yazid the Filth. And as he has bad intentions, she takes out a dagger and she says, you are the one who killed the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And repeatedly she begins to stab him until he is no more. His body rots there. It is mentioned that the vultures and the crows, they feed on his body. And a very bad stench emanates. A few days later, his soldiers, his guards are looking for him. They find him, that his body is smelling so much and is half eaten up. They just dig a little ditch and they throw his body and they go away. So this is the end of those who are against the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt. So one of the lessons is of patience, of tolerance as well, and to follow in their footsteps. If we do not, if we just be amazed by these stories, but we don't take the lessons and apply it, we have wasted our time. Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us the ability to practice, the enthusiasm to practice. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mubarak for you, Usma, I pray, Mubarak. see.